Well, amen. Good morning to see you on this warm, sunshiny New Year's Day. You can laugh. But I am so glad you were faithful to God's house today and a good attendance for it being a holiday. And I know there's many things going on. Many of you may have stayed up late and prayed in the new year. We were somewhere and they said, "You mean you're not going to stay to midnight?" And I was like, "Well, why don't we just set our clocks up like to midnight and act like it's midnight?" But many of you may have been like us. We slept in the new year. Amen. And some of you may have enough energy that you stayed up. God bless you and if you did. But take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. That's in your Old Testament. And you'll see it just before the book of Ezra. Good book. Teach us a lot. It's a history lesson on the country of Israel and their kings, the divided kingdom. And matter of fact, by the time you get to where we are, you're almost at the end of the nation of Israel or the country as a whole before it goes into exile. And a familiar king comes on the scene. By a great name. I don't know if you've ever thought about great names for some of your kids, but this would be a great one, Jehoshaphat. And that might be a good one if you want him to be, I'd be real close to like naming him Sue if you named him Jehoshaphat. But a very, very good story comes to us through this that I believe that we can learn a lot from because I believe in our lives, some of you may be there today. Some of you may be there at another point in time in life, but I really do believe that every person who ever lives under the sun here on this planet will get to a portion in a place in life where they will utter some of the same words that Jehoshaphat is going to say in just a minute that we will read. And many of you sitting under the sound of my voice have been at this particular point and place in life where you just simply don't know what to do. Where you might get to a place where you would utter a sentence that would say, "God, I just don't know. I don't know what to do." And if you're not there, I feel like you will be there. Especially if you try to live a life of faith. If you try to live a life of faith. Faith is the evidence of things hope for, those things you can't see, those intangible things. And to live a life of faith, really by looking at that verse, automatically makes you to understand there's going to be a time when I will be asked to do something, where I will be up against odds, where I will be in a particular situation where I will not have the answer. Because the physical realm of our life relies on answers, relies on understanding, relies on seeing. We don't have any problems believing as long as we can see, as long as it makes sense, as long as it's the right thing to do, as long as everybody else is on board. There's going to come a time when God will force your life into a corner. And He may use any particular thing. He may use any particular people to push you to a place where you are uncomfortable, where you will not understand. And with God, there is no hourglass. There is no timer. There's no length of time involved. Because remember, you're talking about a being in which does not operate in our time system. He doesn't have a calendar in which he's working off of. Many of them say that the year 2012, that's what I've heard already this morning. This is the end. And as though they like to make movies of that, and they may like to scare us with that, the evidence that they do not believe that is evident. Because if this was it, and they really knew for a sure fact that this was it, as if some of them are acting, their lives are not changing in any way, shape, form, or fashion that leads us to believe that that might be the case. Whether it's the end or not, I don't know. But one thing I know, if it is, I'm okay. I'm okay. And how you're living your life and how your life is and how your life is going, you may be at a place where you may not be okay. If January the 1st, 2012 was the last day that this planet ever existed, would you be okay? I'm fine with it. I'd rather it not be. I have lost family members and friends that I'd like to know that they come to know the Lord as their personal Lord and Savior. I would like to know those things would happen. But what if? Let's look in our Bibles. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. I'm going to read the first 13 verses. Stand with me if you would, please. It happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon and the others besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you beyond the sea from Syria, and they are at Hazazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared, now listen, and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea, all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, in all realities, Jehoshaphat may be one of the best politicians that there ever was. Because he is going to step out and say these words. He's not saying these words silently, but you've read all the verses up to this. All of Judah, all of his people that he reigns over is present. Listen at the honest words, because in year 2012, to get a politician to say something honest, you need to listen to this, because this might be the last honest words you hear a politician read or say all year long. He says this, "Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, 'O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them, and they did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given to us to inherit." Verse 12, very important. "O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are upon you." Now all of Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children, stood before the Lord. When I don't know what to do. Father, we love you so very much. God, we ask you to speak to the question of our life. Some of us may be in this particular place today. Some of us may be there tomorrow. Some of us may have been there yesterday. But God, I believe with everything in me that every life will come to a place where they simply say, I do not know what to do. Speak to our lives and do this in Jesus' name. And for His sake, amen. You may be seated. Have you ever said those words? Have you ever been in a place in life where you have said, I just don't know what to do. I don't know whether to go this way. I don't know whether to go that way. Or maybe it's a circumstance or a situation like Jehoshaphat is against. He's not just facing a town. He's not just facing one opposition, but he is facing a huge opposition, a majority of people. He is going to be outnumbered. He's going to be outmatched. Everything is against him. Bad place in life, right? None of us like those times. None of us like to be in a place where we are out of control. Hospital rooms does that to us. Financial struggles gets us into those places. Relationships within our home, relationships with our children, problems at the job, problems within families, struggles, all of these situations in which we get ourselves into where there is not something that we can push or pull or a button that we can push or a phone call that we can make or anything that we can do that seemingly can make a difference. That's where Jehoshaphat is. How do you go against not just an army, but armies? And as a matter of fact, they're going to come in such a way that they have you trapped up against water. They're going to invade from every direction. It's not as like they're coming from the east, so you go to the west. Because they're going to come from both directions. Have you ever said that? God, it's coming at me from every direction. As if God did not know that. As if God had removed His eye off of you in the inheritance that He's given you in the land that He promised for your fathers to live in forever, but seemingly He has removed His focus from you and He is now no longer paying attention and you find yourself in the pain of your life. And that's where Jehoshaphat is. It may be where you are today. Perplexed. I think I've said it before from this pulpit, and I'll say it again. It's a perplexing day. It's a painful day, but it may be the greatest day of your life. I don't like great days like this, preacher. I've wrote love stories before, but this ain't none of the love stories I've ever wrote. Mine didn't ever have this page in it. Well, they... ours seldom do. Ours seldom has a problem where everybody is against us, where it seems like we don't know what to do. And that's exactly what we see. But what we find out is if you read and study your Bible any at all, you find out that everybody who has ever loved the Lord, lived for the Lord, every one of them, has gone through painful times, has been at places where God was all they had, where God was the only one they could look to. Because if it's a majority or if it's something coming against us that we don't fear, would we ever turn to God? We might turn to family. We might turn to fortune. We might turn to fame. We might turn to a book. We might turn to Oprah. We might turn to Dr. Phil. We might turn to anything but the right thing. God is all about getting you to a place where He is all you have. Where He is the only answer. Where He is the only solution. Where simply throwing your hands and your eyes up to Him is the only thing that you have available. It's not to coerce, because God cannot be coerced. God cannot be moved just because you are screaming at Him. Because you're hitting the panic button doesn't mean that God has come running to your situation. And if you do not believe me, when you get to heaven, why don't you ask Mary, Martha, and Lazarus? Will God come running to you at the exact moment in time when you hit the button? God will come after the button quits working. God comes when you hang up hitting the button. Simply put your faith in Him. So you see the pain of our life. Jehoshaphat is like that. Verse number 1 and 2 tells us, I mean, he's got everybody, not just everybody, but every country of any strength at the time in which this man is living is coming to oppose him. And it's going to happen on his watch. The great thing that you find out about Jehoshaphat, other than he has a weird name, is that he was one of the best kings that Judea had. And he is because he was more interested, not in the finances of the country, but he was interested in the worship of the country. He was one of the few that came in and removed the idols and turned the country's eyes and heart back to God. And it's amazing that this process and this problem comes in the life of Israel under this man's watch. And some of you, this as a side note, not even in my notes, some of you may feel like the pain that your life is in right now is due to some problem of your own or some misfortune of your own. But could it be that God is allowing what is going on in your life to happen so that others can be inspired, because God knows how you will respond under the pressure? We ask, why God? Why me? When God is screaming back at you, why not you? Why do we always want the other person to suffer the pain? We want to know the presence of God, but we don't want to know the pain that comes along with understanding the presence of God. We want the fairy tale God. We don't want the painful process. We don't want the crown of thorns. Well, we want the resurrection Sundays, but we don't get resurrection Sundays without painful Fridays that we have to go through in order to understand what power of resurrection means. So you see the pain of life, but this pain drives this man to pray. From verses 5 all the way down through verse number 12, is this man praying publicly to God. He's not running off in a prayer closet. When life gets you to these places in life, you will not care who hears you pray. You will not care who sees you pray. This man prays a very humble prayer. Matter of fact, his prayer starts off a lot like Jesus' prayer. Our Father which art in heaven. Jehoshaphat starts out his prayer, are you not the God that is in heaven? Are you not that God? Are you not our God? Are you not the God that promised Abraham this place and that you would be his friend forever? Are you not that God? And the humility in his prayer is absolutely seen in that one line that I told you in verse number 12. Lord, we don't know what to do. The life of being a preacher and a pastor, it's often hard to see people go through things when you know that God is trying to get them to say that line and they will not say it. They will go through pain. They will turn that pain not into blessings, but they will turn it into bitterness, and it just continues to pile and pile and pile and pile. And they will never look at God in humility and say, God, I have no answers. They will continue to look left and right, look to some preacher, another church, some other facility, some other teaching, some something. It's got to be out there. If I just look hard, if God is trying to see how hard I will look, no, God is trying to figure out what it will take to get you to stop looking. Did I not tell you that this is one of the most honest politicians that you will ever see? Think about this for a minute. War's coming. The messenger gets to the king. Hey, Amnon, all the Ammonites, all of those people, everybody from Mount Seir, every one of them's heading here, and they're going to take over this place. And he assembles all of his people, and they're coming together. I mean, I tell you what, king's going to have a plan. He's going to know what to do. We'll go down Jehoshaphat. Man, I tell you what, he's a good man. He's a godly man. He loves the Lord. He'll be in connection with God. He'll know what to do. And they all assemble themselves. They get very quiet. And the king steps out and says, folks, I ain't got a clue what to do. Now think about the next State of the Union. Do you think you'd ever hear those words? That a man might stand before us and trying to be inspiring and would utter words I don't have an option. I don't know what to do. I don't have an answer for you. I don't know how I can turn this around. But I know who can. He has not brought us to this moment to fail and fade away. He has brought us to this moment to give us victory. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I know he will do it. We've been trapped. Notice, do you notice in his prayer this honest, humble, holy prayer that he's spending the majority of his prayer talking about what God did for his fathers? And for the fathers of this country, and how he'd continued to deliver them. This is not the only time. They had been backed up against water, where an army was bearing down on them from one side, and they looked to the other side, and there's no way out. Mothers and fathers, grandmothers and grandfathers, do not dismay the things that God is bringing you to display your faith, because there are younger generations behind you that need to see you being faithful, so they will even know to pray or how to pray or who to pray to if they do not see us praying. Moses, do we need to go that direction or that direction? No, we will go this direction, and God will open a path. Well, okay. Pain. Pain is typically what it takes to lead us to prayer. Let me ask you this. I'm not saying anything against Jehoshaphat. But if these armies are not coming, do we even have a chapter 20? Do we have a moment in time where a man would stand before other men and say, I don't have an answer? So not only do we see the pain, not only do we see the prayer that this man prays that's honest and humble and very holy. As a matter of fact, it's kind of a short prayer, isn't it? Think about this. These guys are coming not to just come in and say, hey, we want to you know, kind of vote and see if we, you know, if we got more of y'all than us, and we're going to take over your place. No, they're going to come in. They're going to rip the people to shreds. They're going to remove the women and children. They're going to kill the men. They're going to desecrate the temple. And he prays a prayer that's 7 verses long. But he said all that he needs to say. God does not as much, and I love one of my favorite hymns. You sung it this morning, Sweet Hour of Prayer. What, that one never needs to be taken out of a hymn book. Perfect. And I'm not trying to shorten your prayer life, but sometimes it don't take an hour. And some of you may be hindered from your prayer life thinking it's going to take an hour. It's not the matter of time, but it's the matter of the heart that you take with you into that moment of prayer. Jehoshaphat is coming into this moment of prayer with a heart that is dependent upon God. I'm going to spill my heart to him. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, casting all your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. Did Jehoshaphat not just spill his heart? Everything that was on the inside, everything that he needed God to know, everything that he needed to know that he needed God to know that he knew about God. He said, God, I'm not asking you to do anything that you haven't already done. I'm not asking you to do anything that I understand and know with every fiber of my being that you are able and capable and wanting to do. God, I understand that you've brought me and my people to this point where you are all that we have. Now that we're here, be God. The reason some of us may not know God is because you don't understand what God is capable of doing. And you never ask God to be himself. You always want God to be what you want God to be. Did he give detailed instructions on how to defeat the enemy? No. He just said, we're your people from the father Abraham that was your friend forever that you promised. Are you going to forget us? Did he tell him how to dismantle the Ammonites? Did he detail what he wanted done to them? No. He's just reminding God of every promise that God had already given his people. And God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but as faithful and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The prayer. The pain. The verse 3 and 4, 12 and 13, show me patience. And some of you may be in the pain, and you may be on your knees in prayer. But what about patience? 109 times in your Bible, the word wait is used. On 4 occasions, we get that phrase, wait upon the Lord. Isaiah 40, 31, the famous one. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Wait on the Lord. And those are neat words to say. And that's a very great verse for you to put on a plaque and display in your home. But it's another thing to live. Because we will be spiritual and say those things, I will wait on the Lord. But while I'm waiting, I'm going to push and pull and prod and poke everything that I can to get out of this hole. But what if God wants you in the hole? You're praying for God's will, not understanding that you are in God's will. God, I just want your will for my life, but I want things to change. And God is saying, I've got you where I want you. That is my will. Wait. But we don't wait well, do we? And listen, I'm not going to kick anybody around, because that one area is probably the one area that majority of Christians and church people have a problem doing. It's just waiting on God. We want things to change, and we want them to change now. And we'll pick up a phone, we'll make a phone call. And I'm not saying that you don't do some of these things in faith, but when you have no idea what God is up to, look at the verses, just so you understand my heart. Verse 3, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and they proclaimed a fast through all Judah. Look at verses number 11 and 12. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession that you've given us. O Lord God, will you not judge them? For we not, at the end of the verse, he says, we don't know what to do. And they're just, look, verse 13, now all of Judah and their children, their wives, everyone, they just stood. Now notice the word, notice the phrase, stood. That's a present tense word. I'm standing, this is where I've stood, I'm going to continue to stand and wait here. Patience. Not trying to make anything happen. Not trying to circumvent myself around God's will. Not trying to spiritually explain my way out of this. But I will wait here. Moses, are we going anywhere? No. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord. But if we leave now, we can outrun them to the east. We're not running. I can explain running. I can't explain a sea party. The answers to your solutions are explainable. It's probably because God is not involved. God does not work in the realm of the explainable. He never has. He never will. How's the Savior going to get to this earth? Oh, a virgin will conceive and have a child. Explain away, my friends. If it's explainable, is it really faith? Because isn't faith evidence of things I can't see, unknown, untangible, unseen, things I cannot wrap my hands, mind, or anything around? Patience doesn't mean there's not activity. But it means that my activity is based upon my patience of the Lord. Because if you'll figure out, you'll find out. If you read, not going to read all the verses, they most certainly continue to do activity. As a matter of fact, not only that, do they stand there, they're not trying to make something happen, they're not looking for answers, but they stand there. And in the next verse, verse 14, Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, he comes on the scene and tells him, just keep standing. You march that direction, you start marching towards your enemy. And he gives them a promise. You won't even have to fight. You won't raise a bow. You won't use the sword. This will have nothing to do with you other than your activity, you will march towards your enemy in faith that God will deliver you by the time you get there. So you see pain, you see prayer, you see patience. Here's really how your patience in God is displayed. Praise. Look, we didn't read these verses a while ago, so look, got 5 minutes. Verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head. Now this is, nothing has changed. Their circumstance, their place in life is exactly the same in verse 18 as it is in verse 1. They still have an enemy that's bearing down on them, coming directly at them. Nothing's changed. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Hold on now. They're having a praise concert in the midst of a situation where they may lose their life, their home, everything they have, everything that they hold near and dear. All of that's about to be lost, and they're stopping in verse number 18, and they're praising God. I have a New Year's resolution to say that more. Praise the Lord. I do not think that I say that near enough. And that's an area that I'm convicted over. Well, praise the Lord. You came in with your problem. But could you leave with your praise? Could you leave understanding that it will work out in God's time and in God's ways. And your praise will come from the fact that you know God. Your situation today may not change. It may not change next week. It may not change next month. It may actually do exactly what 2 Chronicles. It may change the next verse. Because you heard something from God. Praise. I noticed that this happens before the evidence. They're merely taking God and the words that come from God's man, and they're taking them as the answer. And they're just breaking out in praise. Verse 19, then the Levites, the children of the Kohathites, and the children of the, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with their voices. Listen. Loud and high. Praise the Lord. You're like Eeyore. Praise the Lord. I'm not just saying that you say praise the Lord, but I mean you mean it with everything that you are. I may be destroyed today, but praise God for what I've been able to live through. I may be removed from this, he says. But praise the Lord, I got to live in God's land for this length of time, and I got to know God and understand God. And if I leave today, praise the Lord. Really? The old song, Count Your Blessings. Good song. But our method in life is not to count our blessings, but we typically count our burdens. Jehoshaphat is deciding, I will count my blessings. Listen, verse 20. So they rose early in the morning and went out of the wilderness. Down to the bottom of the verse. Believe in the Lord God and you shall be established. Believe his prophets and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, this is verse 21, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army, they were saying, praise the Lord, his mercy endures forever. Now here's the kicker. You see the praise, you see their prayer, you see the pain that they're in, much like some of you are in. But look at the performance of God. They never stop marching. They never stop singing. They never stop praising. They eventually get to a hilltop, go over the hilltop, go into the valley to find their enemies. Look at verse 22. Now, when they began to sing and to praise. Now, is that explainable? Is that how you fight wars? No. The Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, for they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy him. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Children of Israel, top a hill, come into a valley to see every one of their enemies laying dead. Not one of them has life in their bodies. They have not picked up one sword. They have not shot one arrow. They've not fired one cannon. They've not cut one person. Nothing have they done except believe and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Are you at a place in life where you say, Lord, I don't know what to do. It's a great day. Because if you'll stand and trust the Lord, He will not fail you. Because understand that if He failed you, you would be the first person who ever lived that placed all of their trust in God, and God did not help, assist, and go over and beyond. Because what you find out is not only did He defeat all the enemies, but as they marched down and began to look at them, these people were, they had gold necklaces, they had articles of great value on them, and all the children of Israel just wiped them clean. So not only did He take care of their enemy, but He gave them everything that they needed to sustain them in the future. Battles are great things, my friends, because it's only in the battles that you find out who God is. Let's stand. I'm going to pray. And when I'm done praying, obviously these altars will be open. I've got a song that they're going to play. I've asked them to play. And if that song runs out, Larry will be ready to continue playing. But if you're here today, your 2011 didn't go the way you wanted it to, and you just do not know what to do about 2012, I can't give you a great answer today. But I can invite you to come and speak to the one who does know. Your situation will change if you love God and you're called according to His purpose. All things will work out for good. I know that. But your solution, friend, sir, ma'am, will not have any involvement from you other than trusting and obeying. Father, I love you so very much. I'm thankful for your people. God, I pray that you bless your word. Father, it's in times of our life that brings us to points where we're broken. God, I'm thankful for the witness of a man like Jehoshaphat. Lord, who in front of masses of people could have the humility about himself to say, I don't know what to do. God, I know without any doubt there are people under the sound of my voice today who are at that place in life. who just don't know what to do. They're out of answers. And God, that's a good place for them. They're in pain. They're definitely in prayer. Matter of fact, their prayers have gotten to a place where they don't even know what to pray anymore. And sometimes it's just a rehearsal of the same prayer that we have, that is just born and birthed into us at where we are. And it might be short, but God, it's through prayer. Give us patience. But God, give us praise as we wait on your performance. And God, for some here this morning who are lost, who do not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, and God, their life has been back to a place where they can only look to you to be saved. God, I pray that today, more than any other day of their life, they'd start out this year better than they started any year of their life. They'd start it with coming to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Pray that you give them the courage to come. And I ask you to do this in Jesus' name, for his sake. Just listen as they play this song.
Lord, I surrender. Your strong and faithful hand.
Life is a place where you need God. I'd ask you
everything I
lay your life
give
on an altar. Lay your hopes, your dreams, your aspirations, everything
I'll
that you
just
want.
Trust your perfect plan when
sacrifice.
I don't know what to do.
I'll live my
aim when I don't to go. Come to me as I bow my knee.